It might be time to move to a place where you are treated with freedom. And Canada has become a very dark place with their authoritarian leadership.
If you need any clear indication that the fiat system is 100% permissioned and you don't get to participate if you don't follow their rules, I think this is it.
What is fiat backed by in the first place anyway, right? Like, it's the full faith and credit of the United States. What is that composed of?
Everyone has been talking about this coming for years. Kick the can down the road. Well, the can just probably made its final move, and it's here.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. As always, I have Greer, and we've got guest Sophia Moran. Sophia, thanks for joining. Let's hop right into the news here. So up first, we have Canadian authorities have carried out the largest crypto seizure in the nation's history, seizing $56 million from Trade Ogre. The reason was for non-compliance with some of their anti-money laundering regulations, but it says that they control $15 million in BTC, $17 million in stablecoins and ETH, and they actually put into the op return that the crypto assets are controlled by the RCMP. Sophia, I'll let you take this one first. What are your thoughts on Trade Ogre and they declined to comply, which I think many of us would appreciate and approve of, civil disobedience. But what's your take on this?
I mean, it's exactly that. It's definitely civil disobedience. I mean, I'm glad that they're not complying. I think complying sets a precedent for everybody else to feel like they have to comply. And the reality is that Bitcoin gave us the ability to not have to do that anymore. And when one person does it, when one person walks off of the ledge, everybody else walks off the ledge. And these institutions, these central banks, they just fall to the ground. Like, I love that cartoon and that image of all of the people holding up the central bank. So, you know, the fact that they didn't give in to this, I mean, bravo to them. It came at a very heavy cost, but it's the price of freedom for, I think, everybody else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think we need more and more companies just flipping the middle finger to the regulations, to the government, and saying we're not going to comply. Unfortunately, in this particular case, because it's one company trying to buck the trend of compliance, they had their assets seized. So it's an uphill battle. But Greer, what's your take?
Yeah, a couple things on this one. The first is it might be time to move to a place where you are treated with freedom, you know, and Canada has become a very dark place over the last 6 months and really over the last several years with their authoritarian leadership. So I feel for our Canadian brothers up north. The other thing is this is a good use for op return. You know, the authorities here, although, you know, they confiscated all of this Bitcoin and a bunch of other crypto shit, you know, they used the op return to say, hey, we took over these wallets. They actually went in and took their hot wallets and cold wallets. So, you know, it's somewhat of a chilling effect that the authorities are here, but it is a good use case of what op return is for. It's for these small messages and underneath the limit. So as we talk about knots and core, unfortunately, we have a use case from the authoritarians. But to me, this is, you know, kind of shocking that they're using the network the way it was designed.
Yeah, it's a bit more sophisticated than you would ever expect from anyone in government. Speaking of op returns, so Michael Saylor was asked the question actually by George Bodine live at an event, and we're not going to show the video because it's long. I think if I could maybe paraphrase, and Greer, you feel free to correct me, or Sophia, if you've heard this, he thinks that the reaction from the community, the plebs, was healthy. That the fact that people are resisting changes to the network is a good thing. And he didn't say the changes are necessarily bad, but cautioned against very smart, talented developers wanting to make things better, because that is oftentimes how things break and get worse. And I can tell you from personal experience, I remember 20 years ago, my dad was running a software company, and he had his development team in-house, and he ended up firing all of them and outsourcing the development work because they were so difficult to work with, because they always knew the right answer, even though they didn't fundamentally understand the needs that the business was serving. They just knew how to make really good software. So they were always trying to override the desires of management to do what they thought was best. And it wasn't best for what the company was trying to accomplish at large. So my experience, I think we've given Saylor a hard time for certain things in the past. I think he handled this answer well, and he didn't explicitly state that he's pro Knots or pro Core 30, but cautioned against this sort of development in the face of such opposition. Greer, why don't you take this first if I missed anything, and maybe you can elaborate.
I was curious if Saylor would weigh in, being one of the most publicly known figures in Bitcoin. And I was glad that he pointed out the best way to ruin Bitcoin is to add 200 developers that want to change it, or 200 different upgrades. You know, Satoshi said, you know, once version one is released, it's pretty much set in stone for its life. And what I think we've all been learning is that Knots is looking to take a conservative, non-changing approach to Bitcoin. You know, they have set the opportune at 42 bytes, Core currently at 83 bytes. And what the developers are doing now with this new version, Core 30, is blowing that open to 100,000 bytes. So, Saylor is saying, hey, guys, don't screw it up. You know, we can over-engineer this thing. Forget about the use cases. Bitcoin is money. And I think the Knots team, the Knots group, they're on the right side of history. If you look back, it will be the Knots group that has said, Bitcoin doesn't need to change. Bitcoin serves one purpose. It's money. It's not a file or data storage platform. So I was glad to hear him say this, and I agree with you. I think he sent the message, and you didn't really have to read in between the lines to know where he stands. So this was great to hear.
Yeah, as a quick aside too, I will add to this conversation that I had a back and forth on X with a guy who's in that Free Samurai camp, which I really appreciate and respect. He is very much anti-Knots, very much pro. In fact, he wrote a script to block Knots nodes from connecting to his. No, you're good. And it's I'm trying to wrap my head around why there's this aversion from certain people who I otherwise agree with on many things. And part of the point he made was like a distrust for Luke Dash Jr. And I'm not trusting Luke. I'm trusting the code, and I'm trusting that Bitcoin will continue to work as money as it has. And as a company that operates on a Bitcoin standard, and as an individual that does to the extent that I can today, it works. And so I'm very cautious, as Saylor points out, of making changes that could materially impact that. Sophia, what's your take?
You know, I completely agree with Saylor and with all of the people who are kind of on the Knots side of things. I think that Bitcoin was essentially created to be money first. And the more you complicate that, the more Bitcoin turns into another cryptocurrency. And that's kind of defeating the purpose, right? It's also defeating the purpose of moving away from fiat and opting out of centralized systems. I think if you start to give one group of people, no matter who they are, the power to make those types of changes, who knows what types of changes they're going to make along the way. Right now, we all might agree with the types of changes they want to make, like say that we all do, but down the line, that may very well change. And once you give people a certain amount of power, that power tends to be abused. And so I think the more simple and the more close to version one you can keep Bitcoin, the better and healthier that is for the long-term stability of Bitcoin and the adoptability for everybody else. The more that you change it, the more it's going to become like fiat, the more we're going to be, you know, it's going to be like for no reason. It's going to be like back when the dollar stopped being backed by gold and we started changing all of the rules of the dollar. We started inflating fiat currency, and it's just going to be one of the same.
Yeah, I think that's well said. For me, even if I didn't have a particular opinion about this specific change, I think that I would still caution against the way that we've gone about making that change because of the precedents that it sets. So I think that's exactly spot on. Alrighty, up next, we've got, so Cloud had said, gold all-time high, silver all-time high. He goes down the list. Everything is at an all-time high. Debt levels are at an all-time high. This is the everything. This is he said, this is not an everything bubble. This is the crash of the denominator. The dollar is literally worthless. And he goes on. And we had the announcement. Was it this week, just in the last day or two, that interest rates, a 25 bip drop in the Fed funds rate. And I can't make sense of what exactly they're trying to accomplish in light of the current economy and our economic circumstances. Sophia, what would you caution people here with this sort of headline?
Well, it's either the beginning of Armageddon or it's another 2008 financial crisis. It's one or the other. You can't really be too sure or in between. And this is a huge signal that the markets are moving away from fiat and into hard currency. And it actually brings into question, what is fiat backed by in the first place anyway, right? Like, it's the full faith and credit of the United States. What is that composed of? Is it composed of our gold reserves? Is it composed of the S&P 500? Is it composed of, you know, our entire GDP? What is it that really actually gives it its value? And we're very quickly finding out that, you know, through these rate cuts, which are going to continue, I think, we are experiencing the very clear idea that the paper is worthless, and that the things that actually make up the economy, hard assets, especially Bitcoin, because it's not something you have to maintain like real estate. It's not something you're going to have to pay property taxes on. It's not something you're going to have to fly all the way to Switzerland or, you know, get some like heavy bodybuilder guy to like help you lug it across, you know, to your house and then build a giant safe so that you can hide it, buy some guns so that you can protect your family. Like, it, no. It's words that you can store in your head and just go anywhere around the world with your wealth. That is such a revolutionary concept. And I think that that's ultimately what's going to end up making the U.S. economy. But the signal that a lot of this fiat is moving into hard assets already is a sign that people are losing trust in the dollar. And when people lose trust in the dollar, they're going to find these other avenues to put their money in. And eventually, all roads will lead to Bitcoin. They're going to want to get the easiest, most accessible, most liquid money that they can find so that they can use it for their family in the inevitable Armageddon that we are heading into.
I think you nailed it. Greer, tough act to follow. You have anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, everything gets cheaper on a Bitcoin standard. So it's the only escape from any of this. You know, I feel this in my life, you know, food, electricity, tuition, healthcare, all of this stuff is just becoming out of reach if you denominate in dollars. If you're earning a W-2 paycheck, you're paying your taxes into these programs that won't pay you back, Social Security, whatever, Medicare, those, the safety net is gone. The dollar doesn't buy what it used to, and it's lost 10% of its purchasing power this year. As we see these things accelerate, and as the financial distress accelerates, we can see that the Fed is losing control over the hallucination. And, you know, Sophia, you said, what backs the dollar? Nothing. I mean, nothing really. It's this shared belief that the U.S. has institutions that will be there for you. You know, there isn't enough money in the FDIC to back up every checking account. You know, if there were to be some kind of problem, it's paper. The only way out, and it's becoming crystal clear, is escaping into Bitcoin. And I we're here. Everyone has been talking about this coming for years. Kick the can down the road. The can just probably made its final move, and it's here.
All righty. So Bernie here on Twitter says, when they tell you digital ID isn't mandatory, remember this. So on September 1st, 86 million bank accounts were suspended in Vietnam because their owners had not registered for biometric digital ID, including fingerprints and facial recognition. If you need any clear indication that the fiat system is 100% permissioned and you don't get to participate if you don't follow their rules. I think this is it. Greer, I'll let you take this one. What would your how would you caution people as they learn this type of news? Because I think in the U.S. this feels very far away. It's like the "it would never happen here" syndrome that everyone tends to have. So maybe share a few words on this.
So it sounds like they're trying to stop fraud, but the reason the government doesn't need a reason, they can shut the bank account for anything that they determine is valid. So if your money is in a bank, you have to realize that it's not your money. And even if it is your money, it might not even be there.
Yeah. You have to evaluate any government action or program on the outcome and the consequences of that action or program rather than the intention, because there are always unintended consequences. One of my favorite quotes, there are no solutions, only trade-offs. And you do one thing to fix another, and 86 million people don't have access to their bank account now. Sophia, what do you think?
So I covered this on my show, Satoshi, last week. We talked about the Patriot Act 2.0 and how the U.S. Treasury is basically preparing to use Section 311 of the Patriot Act to ban crypto mixers and certain DeFi protocols, wallet services, basic things to like make it so that there is what I call government overreach, but give the authorities, the man, more power over, you know, who is using Bitcoin. And, you know, it's a total invasion of privacy. I think if we pass this in the U.S. or actually ruled that Section 311 is allowed to do that, I think that would be a huge mistake. But also at the same time, while it creates new obstacles for people to buy Bitcoin or to transact in Bitcoin, I think it also allows people the opportunity to see how government overreach is the reason that they need to go all in on Bitcoin. And as Greer said towards the beginning of the show, why it's important to vote with your feet and go to a country that is friendly towards Bitcoin 100% and friendly towards privacy, like El Salvador, for instance. It's not that far away. It's not as far away as we think it is. They shut down the truckers, the Canadian truckers' bank accounts through the government with a push of a button. And I don't see how a future administration wouldn't be able to do that here. It's all numbers on a screen anyway. So if they can do it in Canada, if they're trying to do it in Europe by passing a CBDC in October, I think that it's very possible that it could happen in the United States. And it's our job to kind of protest those things by opting out.
Well said. All righty. Up next, we've got a flaw in the tangent wallet card that made brute force attacks possible. So everyone be careful out there. So the exploit uses what's called a tearing attack, where cutting the power stops the tangent card from recording a failed password attempt, which basically means that they can go through unlimited password guesses, which is how a brute force attack works. They're usually means of stopping that, you know, password attempt limits and that, but they found a workaround. So I guess what I'll just say is this is why the Bitcoin way is so particular and so uncompromising about the wallets that we recommend. There are only a few. It's got to be air gap. It's got to be Bitcoin only. It's got to be fully open source. And you need to have a seed phrase. I mean, that is your ultimate backup. Greer, I'll let you run with this one first. Maybe give a warning to people who are using this sort of wallet or others like it.
Yeah, there's so many options out there when it comes to wallets, so it's easy to be confused. For me, what you said is key. It's got to be open source. It has to be air-gapped, meaning it never touches a computer. And I think the other piece is it's got to have a screen, you know, and I don't know if that's important to many people, but to me, I want to see what's happening on the wallet. Another thing I think is important is you purchase a hardware wallet from one maker and then you use a piece of software from a second, and you're distributing your risk a little bit. you could use Nunchuck on your desktop or mobile, or you could use Sparrow Wallet. And these tools are fantastic because you need to be able to not just sign your transaction, but you need to have the seed phrase, the passphrase, the PIN. There are so many levels of security that if you do it the right way, you can avoid this. You know, this is a nightmare. Let's say you thought you did the right thing, but ultimately, if somebody gets a hold of your wallet, you know, they can brute force attack it, and you know, maybe you're at zero. So I think, you know, staying with air-gapped is the right way, and then just thinking about how to develop a system that you'll be able to replicate anytime you need to.
Yeah, and check out the Bitcoin Way if you need help with that.
Right,
Sophia, what would you add to that?
What I would add to that is, you know, any security system or a cold storage system that seems too convenient is probably not safe. The more complicated you make it, and the more, you know, the more steps, the more levels of security you have, I think the better and the safer you are, the less you run a risk of basically something like this happening. Imagine if you didn't have multi-sig, or if you just had all of your Bitcoin on that one wallet, and now you have this issue. Like, how do you move all of your Bitcoin if it's even there? How do you figure out, like, from step one, a new system? So, you know, from the beginning, I think I would caution people to, you know, stay away from anything that seems convenient, and just go straight for, you know, learning everything there is to learn about cold storage, multi-sig, and air-gapped wallets.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think that's a really important point, because if you find something being so incredibly convenient at this stage, I mean, I think down the road, it's going to be incredibly convenient as new technologies emerge and, you know, more competition enters the space and forces, you know, convenience to be combined with the security that we see in some of the better wallets today. But in the meantime, don't be afraid of what we're talking about here. If you don't know what a passphrase is and you don't understand how cold storage works and what the compromise of something like Tangent might be, it's not rocket science. It's just a matter of learning new skills. And that's the important thing, I think, for people to recognize. You just need to be willing to take the time, curious enough to figure it out. And that's why we do what we do at the Bitcoin Way. Alrighty, guys, 1,000 BTC originating from Mt. Gox 13 years ago, untouched for 6 years, just moved. Sophia, this someone must be excited to have 1,000 BTC. I wish it was not me. I'm just going to put that out there. But what do you think's going on here?
You know, I think people are starting to finally kind of cash in for their hard, long wait of hodling. I would probably hodl a little bit longer, or, you know, we can't always assume that people are selling. We could also assume that people are heightening their security. Like I said, you know, the more complicated and the more places you have your Bitcoin, it's like having different bank accounts. If they attack one, you know, you still have like five or six more. So, you know, we can't assume that they're going to sell all of that, but if they are, you know, good for them, I guess. Like, I'd probably say they probably have a lot more in the storage. I don't know. I don't get into other people's business, but something's definitely happening.
Yeah. Greer, what would you say?
Finally, a good story, right? I mean, somebody who purchased Bitcoin on Mt. Gox, you know, forever ago, my guess is they finally got access to their coins. So, you know, they're waking up to being $117 million richer today. So, I mean, you know, let's hear it for the nerds. You know, you might have been on Mt. Gox to do trading cards and then found Bitcoin. You know, I love this. I hope that this makes their life that much richer. And maybe they'll sell some. I don't know. It's, you know, Bitcoin is money. So do whatever you want with it. But the idea, or hopefully what's happening, is someone's getting restored here. So, you know, I think we should cheer them on and celebrate. This is a good thing.
I agree. All right, we up last. We have David Yerman is now selling a currency duality amulet to respect choice and liberty between the U.S. dollar and Bitcoin. So I thought this was a very fitting fitting discussion now that we've got a gal on the show. So, Sophia, are you going to be buying? I don't think it was cheap. I looked at it the other day. I think it was like a couple thousand dollars or something.
Yeah, if it's Dave Yerman, it's definitely not cheap. I could tell you that for sure. So I got really excited when I first saw this. But then they told me to look at the other side, which I don't know if we have a picture of that.
Try pulling it while we're talking.
And then I realized that it's probably the powers that be sending a message right there. That is so freaky. That is so scary. And with the Bitcoin on the other side, that's a message. That's someone saying, we know you have your little Bitcoin thing, as Donald Trump said, but the dollar still rules. And if you guys step out of line, we will be buying all the Bitcoin, which, like, you know, no problem by me, pump my bags. But it's still pretty scary. I think it's a message that the pyramid is just a little bit ominous.
Yeah, like it's not even a dollar sign. It's the pyramid, which is, I mean, the dollar sign is on there. But like the fact that they like the eye, the whole that whole thing. Greer, are you going to be getting this for your wife for Christmas?
This offends me. You know?
Yeah, this is weird.
there's no duality when it comes to Bitcoin. And if there was, it would be hot wallet versus cold wallet. That's the duality, you know, your savings and your spending.
Layer one versus layer two.
yeah, exactly. Goodness, to me, this is whatever. Maybe we're reading into it, but I don't like this. This is ominous.
It's demonic. I'll just say it's demonic.
Exactly. You got the eye, the all seeing eye up there. Get out. You know, this is the system that Bitcoin is removing and making obsolete. I get that we need to use dollars to buy Bitcoin. You know, dollars are the off ramp to something better. So I wouldn't purchase this simply for the fact that it's expensive and completely counterintuitive to the way I see Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I would say the positive is the fact that people are seeing Bitcoin on a site like this. The downside is I don't think they've drawn the correct distinction. Bitcoin and fiat are not two sides of the same coin. They're completely different paradigms. Anyway. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Sophia, thank you for joining. This was a blast. Why don't you tell
people? Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, tell people where they can find your show and follow you online.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys can find my show, Satoshi, on Simply Bitcoin channel. You can also find me streaming with the guys sometimes on the daily live show. You definitely want to tune in. It's every day, Monday through Friday at 12:30. Today, I think I'm going to be recording another episode of Satoshi, so look out for that. And you can follow me on Twitter. I still call it Twitter, at Internet Sophie.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Greer. Good. Oh, shopbirdflip.com. Go check out Greer's merch, of course. But everyone, thank you for tuning in. Stick around for another minute. You can hear about the Bitcoin way. And guys, look forward to catching up soon. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want a backup in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe.
Stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.